I think, is there anything else, Judd, seriously?
I'm writing jokes with my friend Judd.
You know, for 25 years, he was the most important mentor that I had. But in a lot of ways, he was a mystery to me.
None of these journals are the same. And it reflects from the time I was 25 till now.
We go back to her place. I'm on the couch and I'm really getting into it. And she comes into the room.
Gary told an audience, "Don't worry, folks. You're going to feel good by comparison when I leave the stage."
My mother wants to marry me. I told my shrink that, and he did something I've only seen blackjack dealers do. He looked at me and he went...
It's Gary Shandling Show.
This is the theme to Gary Show.
Gary was always about topping his next thing.
Oh, the Spanish station.
Every time he went on TV.
You're like a mother to me. Do you know that?
I wouldn't breastfeed you, but other than that, I think that...
That made it hard to do the Tonight Show gig. Can you imagine if you had to top yourself every night?
Larry Sanders.
I hate this show.
Well, it's almost over, isn't it?
I hate this show.
Brad Gray dropped him as a client, and that opened up a huge can of worms.
The network is just using me as a negotiation tool.
If there is an element of betrayal or dishonesty, a lot of friendships were just dropped.
He turned to Buddhism, but it's not because he's Zen. It's because he was in desperate need of being Zen.
I'm still single. I've been single my whole life. eHarmony just matched me up with a gun.
Your material is purely a vehicle for you to express your spirit.
So it doesn't have any value beyond that?
It doesn't have any value beyond you expressing yourself in a very soulful, spiritual way. It's why you're on the planet. Well, I looked in the mirror the other day. I thought, my God, I'm turning into Gary Shandling. And I did not see that coming, Judd.
Here's what I'm saying. I'll let the whole thing go for like two installments of $9.95. That's really where I'm at. And then here's what you get, though. My entire f***ing life.
When legendary comedian Gary Shandling passed away in 2016, he was widely remembered as a top stand-up comic and the star of two of the most innovative sitcoms in TV history. But to those who knew him, the real Gary Shandling was a far more complex person. Now, Judd Apatow has created a remarkable portrait of this iconic comedian in a 4.5-hour HBO documentary, The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. The debut is Monday, March 26th, and to talk about the docuseries is director Judd Apatow. Judd, welcome in, my friend.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of your work and a longtime fan of Gary since the very first appearance on The Tonight Show in 1981. I was one of those kids that couldn't wait till he guest hosted. Like when I heard guest host Gary Shandling, I absolutely loved it. I mean, he's legendary.
Yeah, I mean, he really is one of the great comic minds of all time because he was... A brilliant stand-up, and also, you know, one of the real innovators of television comedy. He changed, you know, sitcoms two times, once with its Gary Shandling Show, and then with the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah, Larry Sanders, I still say, one of the top comedies ever to be on television, and I'm really thrilled because I got to watch this yesterday, Judd, and, you know, it's 4.5 hours, and I was wowed by it, and it went by so fast, but the story is so beautifully told between the audio and video, the diary pages, his friends, you know, making his journey through his childhood, the loss of his brother, and really throughout his entire career. I just thought it was so beautifully told.
Well, I appreciate that. I got very lucky. I hired the editor of the movie Jane about Jane Goodall, who also edited the movie Montage of Heck about Kurt Cobain. And he really was a brilliant collaborator. The movie is very cinematic. We hired the composer who does a lot of our movies, Mike Andrews. You know, so it's really engaging in a way that... you know, that we had hoped for.
And you first met Gary, which I didn't know this, and learned a lot, of course, from this documentary, that you met him at when you were 16 years old at your high school radio station. You got him for an interview.
Yeah, I was obsessed with comedy when I was a kid, and I created a radio show just so I could meet people.
That's awesome.
I interviewed Gary over the phone. He was in Las Vegas. He had just hosted The Tonight Show for the first time. This was in 1983.
Okay.
And that was a giant deal. They very rarely let a young person host the show. They let David Letterman do it, and Jay Leno got to do it. And so it's funny because in the documentary, when we're talking about that time, the interview is with me as a child.
That's very cool. Oh, I love how that all started. And you tell this story. You know, first of all, he, you know, Gary wrote in his diaries, was so telling about how he was always forging forward with his goals. And I just found it fascinating that really, I mean, every goal he pretty much made for himself, he accomplished in pretty short term. There was some great insight into him, but he was very methodical about his life and how he wanted it to flow.
I mean, you know, he came from an engineering background. That's what he studied in college. And then at some point, you know, he got bored and started thinking about doing something more creative. And he took some creative writing classes. I think he looked at a lot of his career as an engineer with the work ethic of an engineer. And then I think from an early age, he had an interest in Eastern religions and Buddhism. He had a foreign exchange student live with his family for a year from Japan, and I think that's when he learned about Buddhism as a kid.
Yeah, very spiritual all throughout his life. And one of those things that, you know, in telling the story about Gary, Judd, is that, you know, it was very honest, no real filters, which kind of reflected who Gary was. And you did it in such a way that I think anyone in the spotlight would be very, very happy the way the story was told. You know, I think Gary would be very happy with it.
Well, he was always on a search for truth. That's what his work was about. That's what his spirituality was about. So I just thought, you know, he would want a warts and all treatment of his life. He would want us to look at his life as a lesson. Because as he got older, more of his focus was on seeing the ridiculousness of living by the demands of your ego. Yeah, so he was trying to figure out how to be a mentor, how to give more to other people, how to connect more with other people. And even though it's not that he got all the way there, he didn't. But it was his goal, and it's what was the focus of his journals. That's what he was writing about for decades. How can I let go of all of my attachments? How can I just be present and be a loving person?
Well, you tell such a great story about his family life and so forth. But, I mean, really poignant and something, again, I learned from the story is, you know, Gary had a brother, and his brother was ill, and he passed. He passed away at a very young age. I think Gary may have been 10 years old. And you know, they really, like a lot of families back then, didn't talk about those type of things. Some of those conversations were swept under the rug, and he never really, really had any closure or any real deep conversations about what happened as a young kid and with his family.
I think, you know, a lot of families were like that back then. It was 1960 when his brother died of cystic fibrosis. And how the family handled it is they didn't really talk about it very much. You know, one cousin said that he was over the house an enormous amount of time, and he never heard his brother's name mentioned again. And that's a lot for a little kid to carry. He didn't really have a way to work out his grief. Some of that led to his mom doting over him and engulfing him because he was a surviving child, which led him to maybe being a little more isolated. He got into ham radio, so he would sit and talk to people from around the world on his ham radio. And he said that from an early age, that taught him about how everyone is connected, all around the world. And he was fascinated by that. And he also developed an interest in comedy, and that became his escape pod.
Well, and you talk about the connectivity that he felt on the ham radio, but he also learned that everyone's got their stuff. You know, everyone's got their issues, too, and he connected in that way as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he became sensitive and empathetic to everybody's problems. Everybody has their struggle. In fact, there was something written in one of his journals in the years before he died where he said, you know, your job is, you know, to help people through this you know, difficult life. That's your gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, you met him when you were 16, but then years later, you know, you developed a long time, you know, really wonderful personal friendship with Gary, but you also worked for him professionally. You know, as you mentioned, you know, he was hosting the Grammys and you wrote 100 jokes for him where he scribbled out and changed a bunch of the punchlines and everything. But you wrote, you know, I think from the second season of the Larry Sanders Show, I mean, your name was all over that show as a writer and producer. But you really got to know him, you know, personally behind the scenes.
I did. I met him when I was in my early 20s, and at the time he was dating this woman named Linda Doucette,
yeah,
who was later one of the stars of the Larry Sanders Show. And I always felt like I was like a starter child for them. Like I was an experiment in parenting to see how they liked it.
Yeah, Judd's coming for dinner. He's coming for dinner.
That's right. They were really, really nice to me in ways I truly didn't understand at the time. They had a lot of affection for me, and I was always so blown away that I was allowed into their world at all. I even went on to buy Gary Shandling's house when he moved out.
Oh, no, really?
And I just lived there. So I was definitely living a Gary Shandling life in his footsteps.
Was that the house he never finished? Time. Was that the house he never finished, or was that the new house then?
It was the house before that. You know, he built a house.
Yeah.
And the joke was that he, you know, designed it with architects and then hated the result and lived there and complained for the next 20 years. He would just take you on a tour of why none of the rooms worked.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. But it's not only from your point of view, and you can see the passion just in your face talking to so many of the people that were close to him and so many people that worked with him. And again, you know, his Linda, you talked to Linda, you talked to Gary's cousin. I mean, you really touched so many elements of this. And the clips that you were able to get, a lot of this was his memorabilia, wasn't it? I mean, he's had this big trunk full of stuff that you had a little access to.
Yeah, he saved everything, but he just chucked them in boxes and threw them in closets and storage spaces. So it's funny because he wasn't a very nostalgic person. There was never a photo of his brother in his house.
Yeah.
There was, you know, he wasn't one to have a lot of props and things from his different projects laying around. All of his awards were in this tiny trophy case that was next to the washer and dryer in his laundry room. But he did save everything. It was all there. And he was considering putting out a book based on his journals and doing some sort of documentary based on his journals. So I took that as a sort of permission that he felt like there were lessons to be learned in his writings.
And great clips, too. I mean, great clips all the way along his career. I actually think, if forgive me if I'm wrong, but did I see Vic Tayback introducing him at a variety show of some sort?
Yes, Vic Tayback introduced him on a show called Norm Crosby's Comedy
Shop. Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Which oddly was one of the first shows that showed comedians from this new comedy club scene. There's also some interesting interviews. In one interview, he's being interviewed by Alan King,
yeah,
who had a comedy interview show. We found so many great moments. I took a year just looking for footage.
Sure.
I just looked for everything that he had ever done. And there's all sorts of great things like old Make Me Laugh episodes.
Yeah, stuff I saw like that. I saw that as well. And as I'm looking through and watching this documentary, you know, obviously two groundbreaking shows on television he was behind as well, besides being a successful stand-up and really his dream of being on The Tonight Show and hosting The Tonight Show. Larry Sanders took him to a whole new level. I mean, I thought he was cool before. This was a super cool show, one of the best written shows, which I know you are a big part of. But that, you know, that I think plays a big role in how his comedy developed, how he developed as an actor. I mean, this show was phenomenal, and he kind of enjoyed playing that role. Like I know he was offered, or they talked about him replacing Letterman when he went to CBS, and you talked about, you know, he never wanted to figure out or how to top himself every single night. But this show kind of gave him that opportunity to kind of be that talk show host, invite great friends and amazing guests on that show, and tell the story of what the egos in Hollywood were really like.
Yeah, he kept getting offered all of the 12:30 slots. And he was very much in contention for Johnny Carson's slot until he took himself out of contention because he was just too tired from doing his Gary Shandling show to also host The Tonight Show a number of weeks a year. But he said he was more interested in the people who make those shows and exploring their lives than he was in interviewing people and asking them what they were up to. He also was very daunted by the idea of taking a job that was very difficult and time-consuming that had no end date. The idea that if you took one of these talk shows, in a way you were committing to that being your creative life almost to the end of your life. That troubled him because I think he just thought, I don't have the energy to do that. And I think he had an instinct that in order to do it, you would have to be insanely creative, you know, to follow in Letterman's footsteps, someone who had innovated those shows and was so hilarious. You'd have to take it to the next level. And I think that he didn't have enough energy or interest in doing that or belief that he could do it. And then Conan came in and he did exactly that.
Yeah, he did.
He was so creative and imaginative, that he elevated it once more.
I would have been surprised before I watched the documentary that, you know, even with all that success around Larry Sanders, that he still was searching for happiness and really perfection in the show when it was really already that good, that he kind of still struggled with that, you know, all of his life.
Well, you know, the work is always so hard. It doesn't make much sense the way that production was set up. It was difficult because the writers kept changing. You never knew which celebrities would guest star on the show, which meant that it was hard to lock scripts because you just didn't know who would accept the offers to appear. You'd ask somebody, you know, to do it, and then you'd get someone else, and then you have to rewrite the whole script because they were a different person.
And
they were shooting 17 pages a day, which was too many pages. You're supposed to shoot like 5 or 6 a day. And at the same time, Gary's expected to rewrite next week's script. And it was just too much. No one has ever had to work as hard as Gary did on a show.
I bet. Well, I'll tell you, when I watched this, I laughed out loud at stuff I haven't seen for years. I got tears in my eyes on the way the story was told and how it flowed and how you transitioned through, you know, the diary and so forth. I mean, it was just so well done. And I have to ask you, did pulling this all together, Judd, help you in your own grief with the loss of such a great friend?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's allowed me to spend another 2 years with Gary, two very intimate years, and a lot of time in his head. You know, when you're reading so much journals, you're really along for the ride during their life.
Yeah,
it's very intense. So it'll be interesting to see what my grieving is like now that it's over. But you know, we're putting a book together, so I can delay grieving another year. I'm going to keep delaying grief as long as possible.
Well, I look forward to the book as well. And the debut of the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling debuts tomorrow, Monday, March 26th on HBO. And for more on the show and where to watch it streaming afterwards, visit HBO.com. Judd, thank you. And really, congratulations on this exemplary documentary. So well done.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, Hank, I'm sorry.
In fact, why don't you just laugh in my face? I mean, you might as well do it now. You and Artie do it every time I turn my back.
Mother was ill.
What about the time I chipped my tooth on the bathroom urinal? Huh? What the f*** is so comical about that?
It was a back tooth, Hank. I don't know how you did it.